Good morning and welcome. I invite you to mute as we sing our opening hymn, number 401, The God of Abram Praise. Service continues with the confession on page 41 of the Book of Common Prayer or in your handout. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we might prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship him, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient heart confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. And we say together, Almighty and most merciful Father, We have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much in the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws.
We have done those things which we ought not to have done.
But thou, Lord, have mercy upon us.
Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent.
According to thy promise, declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord, grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live in godly righteousness for the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
The almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open thou our lips.
And our mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The psalm for today is Psalm 22, found on page 611 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your prayer. Praise the Lord, you that fear him.
Stand in awe of the offspring of Israel.
For you of Jacob's line give glory. For he does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither does he hide his face from them.
But when they cry to him, he hears them.
My praise is of him in great assembly.
I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him.
May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations shall bow before him.
For kinship belongs to the Lord.
He rules over the nations.
To him alone, all who sleep in the earth bow down in worship.
All who go down to the dust fall before him.
My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him.
They shall be known as the Lord's forever.
They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn
the saving deeds that he has done.
A reading from Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. And the king shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us join together saying Canticle 14, a song of penitence, which is found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 90 or in your booklet. O Lord and ruler of the hosts of heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of all their righteous offspring, you made the heavens and the earth with all their vast array. All things quake with fear at your presence. They tremble because of your power, but your merciful promise is beyond all measure. It surpasses all that our minds can fathom. O Lord, you are full of compassion. You have promised forgiveness to sinners. Unworthy as I am, I am saved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our second reading this morning is from Romans 4. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distress made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned on him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to mute as we sing our sequence hymn number 691, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this all quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at the disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "You want to become my followers? Let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and for a friend forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those ashamed of me and of my words and of this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed. May come in the glory of the Father, the holy angels, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I sometimes blurt things out. I think in part because I'm shy. And if you don't believe it, I'm really an extreme introvert, like stutter just even thinking about it. But sometimes I blurt out because I'm excited. Or sometimes I blurt out of fear. But sometimes I blurt things out and it's before my brain is fully engaged. You know, I just, without any warning. And I thought about the old show, the Art Linkletter show, maybe some of you saw it, and he would have a part in there, kids say the darndest things, and they'd have little kids sit up on this stage and he'd ask them questions. And we had to understand that it was from a kid's perspective, a kid's point of view of how they see the world. And sometimes it was really cute how they saw the world. But other times they would blurt something out that would either make their parents blush or shocked. And of course, that's when the audience would laugh and Art Linkletter would ask them a follow-up question, trying to get a little bit deeper into it. But today's story reminds me that I love Peter. As a matter of fact, I need Peter. I need him to be the one who blurts things out and sometimes gets it really right, like saying right before today's reading, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And sometimes to blurt things out that are just really wrong. But I think about Peter. He reminds me of a middle school kid or a teenager or a young adult or sometimes myself. But when we think about middle schoolers, you know, there's a lot going on with their bodies and their brains, and they're not always in control. And so when they say stuff, sometimes it's, you know, like bragging, and sometimes it's totally clueless. And sometimes it's before their brain engages and they just say something. But other times they are speaking a truth that we need to hear. The filter is gone sometimes, and that's what we need. I hope each and every one of you has a Peter in your life, that person that you can be totally honest with and that can be totally honest with you. And when they get it wrong, yeah, you're a little bit hurt or angry, but when they get it right, you are just so grateful for somebody giving words to what you may not be able to express. And I think of those circumstances in my life a number of times. I've been so grateful for the person who could say what I couldn't say. I think back to when I was a counselor and I was volunteering at a battered women's shelter in a support group for women who had been abused. And, you know, as a counselor with a credential, there are some things you just can't say. But there was this woman in group who was talking about, yeah, her husband had pinned her against the garage wall with the car. And yeah, she was in the hospital for a really long time, but he didn't really mean it. And he, you know, was a mostly a nice guy, and she really loved him. And what I couldn't say, but the one the woman next to me could say is, "Are you crazy?" That truth that nobody wants to hear, but we sometimes need to hear. Peter gives me courage when I'm not sure that I want to speak up. Peter gives me the permission to give it a try, to sometimes get it wrong, but to sometimes get it so right. We're in the second week of Lent. We're on day 10. Yesterday and today are day 10 because, as you know, Sundays don't count. So, you know, eat your fill. Anyway, sorry. 10th day of Lent. And some of you might be saying, aren't we through yet? But others of you might be saying, 10th, that's like a quarter of the way through and I haven't even given up fudge yet. But we're at that point where Jesus is trying to really get his point across. He's trying to teach the disciples everything he can. He's trying to get the whole gathered assembly on board with his mission. And so he says today, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering. He must be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Something that nobody wanted to hear. And I know I've said it a million times before, but I want you to actually stop for a minute and think of what it would have been like. This man is your best friend. This man has given you hope. This man, you've just said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. I want to follow you. I want to be with you. I want you to lead me. And I want you to make the suffering end. I want you to go to Jerusalem and take back our country. Some of the people in that country were so distraught over what was happening, they were literally losing their minds. They were losing their farms, their fishing industry. They were so heavily taxed, they were just snowed under. And yet Jesus is telling them, okay, folks, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. Peter pulls him aside and rebukes Jesus. I'm not sure he actually thought that through before he did it. The rest of them, I can only imagine, were cringing. Are you crazy? Rebuking Jesus? But then Jesus, in his most harsh statement in Scripture, said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And then Jesus turns to the crowds and he turns to the disciples and he turns to us and he explains his mission, his purpose, his reason for coming to earth. The thing, the one thing that he hopes that we all hear. And he says to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. In my imagination, it's a whole lot easier to focus on Peter, to point out where Peter gets things right and where Peter gets things wrong. It's a whole lot easier to be one of the disciples looking on and saying, glad I didn't say that, than to actually hear what Jesus is saying to us. I think about it. We hear this passage more than once every Lenten season. Why is that? Why do we hear this passage over and over? And for those of us who are saying, you know what, I can't wait for Lent to be over. I know what happens. I know how it ends. It's a really good thing. We have Jesus. We're saved. But I don't think that's the point of this story. We're saved. No big deal. Let's get on with the story. I think it's an invitation to actually hear what Jesus is saying there. Now, I think it's good to have the courage that Peter has. I think it's good to speak the truth. I think it's good to be able to challenge Jesus, to question him, to doubt him, to wonder what his purpose is or how he's at work in this world. I think in this season of Lent, we're saying, I think we've suffered enough. This year of all years, we're done with the suffering. Can we just move on to Easter? I think some of us are saying, you know what? I've already done it. I give of my time, talent, and treasure. I'm good. Thank you. But then I think, again, we miss today's invitation, where Jesus tells us that it's time to pick up our cross, lay down our lives, and follow him. Our closing hymn today is actually one of my favorites because it reminds me what I need to be reminded of. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Rather than looking at Peter or what the disciples are doing or what we have suffered this year or what it all means, I think it's time for us to say, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to pick up my cross and to lay down my life and to follow you. Amen. I invite you into a minute of silence. Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 54 of the Book of Common Prayer or in your booklet. And if you remember, we're in Lent, so we're using right ones, so you might need to pay attention to the words. I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven.
And sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Verse for today is found on page 55 of the Book of Common Prayer or on your printout. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father,
Lord, be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, 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 th
inheritance.
Govern
and lift them up forever.
Day by day we magnify thee.
And we worship thy name.
How safe, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us.
As our trust is in thee.
O Lord, in thee have I trusted.
Let me never be condemned.
O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of thy Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of thee, that the days to come may be spent in thy favor through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, by the whose spirit the whole body of thy faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before thee for all members of thy holy church, that in their vocation and ministry, they may truly and godly serve thee through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
People is found on page 329 of the Book of Common Prayer or on your printout. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications to give thanks for all men, receive these prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire you continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Reverend Lynn and Father Gary, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life.
Oh my.
We beseech thee also for to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in and every land, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and the peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor, especially Jen and John and family, Don M., Jim L., Ray, Dick, Amanda and Billy, Bob R., Bonnie, Carson, Ann, Laura, Ashlyn, Betty, Bob, Jerry, Julie and Ben, Cheryl, Jean, Nicole, Brian, Cheryl, Eliza Jane and family, Douglas, Richard, Kathy, Lindsay, Tammy S., John, Mariel, Heather, Andy, Jim and Marietta, Pam, Colleen, Steve, the food pantry, students and teachers especially, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn. And all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants, departed this life in thy faith and fear, especially beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace also to follow the good examples of St. James, all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, our for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
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 I invite you to join with me in saying the general thanksgiving found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 101 or in your booklet. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mysteries that with true thankful hearts we may show your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, the honor and glory throughout all ages.
Amen.
I invite you to mute as we sing our closing hymn number 707, Take My Life and Let It Be. Before the Lord. Keep this, your family, Lord, with your never failing mercy, that relying solely on the help of your heavenly grace, they may be upheld by your divine protection through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.